Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. Sorry, I had to make sure we were recording. I'm Jerry. As these guys know, Terry and Max are here. Barely made this recording session by the skin of my teeth. Came off of a family camping trip, so the podcasters can't see this, but the people watching can see my hair. I'm having to conceal it in a hat because it's camping screwed up, okay? I was in a bathhouse dealing with it. Yeah, it's bad things. But that is the lesser of the news in our little intro here, guys. We were talking about Champions League off the air here, and that's cool, Champions League, you know, good stuff. I didn't get to see it because I was in the mountains, but the true football fans were really worried about what happened recently when Everton U23s won the Premier League 2 title, 1-0 win over Brighton, and I'm meaning every word I say. Guys, this is second title in 3 years.
Yeah.
For Unsworth, which is pretty awesome. Max, you got to see a little bit of the highlights of that one. Anybody in particular stick out? I noticed you mentioned an event that happened near the end that I thought says a lot about the squad itself.
Yeah, I've just got to say, like, I skimmed over the highlights because the club I think it's great the way the club stick the odds on the 23s game on YouTube, obviously, you know, accessible and not behind the paywall. But yeah, I just had a little skim through, and really interesting towards the end because it looked like there was a bit of a coming together between our lads and the Brighton lads, and obviously, you know, there's a real team spirit there, and our teammates jumped to the defence. Next thing, the full-time whistles blew, and I don't think they were quite aware of it in the middle of the scrap. So it's kind of transitioned from, like, hostility to celebrating winning the league, and it was just, you know, it was great to see. And to me, if anything, it just pointed to the fact that there's a real good team spirit there. And like you said, Jerry, I think that's full credit to David Unsworth, you know, second title in 3 years. And prior to that, I don't think we'd won a reserve title since 2001.
Wow.
And there is a big difference between the two sides that have recently won it. You know, he has had to rebuild with this one. And, you know, I've said it before plenty of times, I think David Unsworth's got a really unique talent when it comes to dealing with young players. And, you know, just has that touch when it comes to youth football. I know he turned down the opportunity to go to Oxford, but I think youth football is where it's at for him. I think he's excellent.
Yeah, it's an interesting, when you look at, I was talking with some people about style as far as an entire football club and having a style that starts at the top and kind of goes all the way down to your youth. Now, that's not something that Everton is incorporating right now, okay? I know when I've gotten to see New York Red Bulls play recently, their U13 is playing a similar style as their senior team. Okay, they try to keep that going just to prepare people for later on and everything. That's not something that Everton is doing a lot of necessarily. It's almost like Unsworth is just coaching the team the way he knows how to try to make them a successful team, to teach them how to win. Mm-hmm. Terry, what's your do you feel like the preference is being able to put those two things together in the long run, or just kind of let our U23 coach do work with what he's got?
No, I think that's definitely the best way to go about it, the way that you said Red Bull were. I think that is Marcel Brands' vision. I think that's what he's going to try and implement at the club, starting with, you know, this season. The under-23 team that Unsworth, over previous regimes, obviously Unsworth's not, you know, he's not gone anywhere. He's always been there. He's built the under-23s up. A lot of the players who've come into that sort of setup have been, you know, scouted, signed, whatever, what have you, by him. And so it's very much his team in isolation, this one especially, to the first team. Now, I think the next step for the club, and I think Brands' vision, is this group of under-23 players, let's see who can transition into the first team now that they've achieved the league. And the ones who can't, they've proven that they're good enough to, you know, they've proven that they're pretty good. So let's see if we can get them careers, you know, elsewhere, move them on, make room. But I think this is sort of like the sort of swan song for that model at the club, because Underwood's done a fantastic job. No one can fault him. He's built, you know, two great teams. The previous team he had that won the Premier League too, there were some graduates to the first team squad from that. John Joe Kenny was a big part of that. He was the under 23 captain at that time. Tom Davies, middle of the season. I think the biggest success story from that, though, from Unsworth's model of identifying players, bringing them in and then having them develop through,
Calvert-Lewin.
Is the player who is playing up front, exactly, Max Calvert-Lewin. He is now the club's first choice striker. He's an Unsworth find. You need more and more of that, and I think that's going to be the model going forward. Unsworth's got that string to his bow, but this group of under 23 players are the oldest in the under 23 league, so it's time to, I think, make decisions on them and see which ones are going to come through. A few of them have been touted to be the next Calvert-Lewin, the next Kenny, the next Davies, you know, that addition to the squad as a legitimate first team option. Lewis Gibson, Josh Bowler, they've been brought in for decent money, more money than Calvert-Lewin was brought in for in Gibson's case. So I think this summer will be huge for them and some of the players who are coming back from loans, like Callum Connolly and Joe Williams. But the fact that there's so many of our young players in the Championship, Kieran Dowell even, these are all Unsworth guys. And, you know, he is a credit to the club with the way he's done in the under-23 so far.
Yeah, 100%. I think on Calvert-Lewin, I think that's more out of necessity of him playing centre-forward for the first team, just purely out of the fact that we didn't replace Lukaku. But I think that's that's the biggest point that could be made there, is that in terms of graduating from the under-23s, we haven't really had any that have, you know, because we've always kind of had the tag of having a star youth player, you know, going back Wayne Rooney, Ross Barkley, and we haven't quite had a player like that that's managed to transition and like the first team up. And I feel that ultimately that is the next step, isn't it? And I think Ellis Sims could possibly be that. I know he's coming in for, I think he'll be in the under-23s next season because he's at the under-18s at the minute, but I think it's something like 40-odd goals in 30-odd appearances, which is, you know, you can't not take notice of that.
Go ahead, Terry.
I was just going to say, ideally you'd have both, in the sense of you develop every so often a star, and, you know, the reality is if you develop a Wayne Rooney, the big, big boys are going to come in and they're going to pay big, big money for those players. But then also, in the sense, we had traditionally Leon Osman, Tony Ibbett, now it'd be Davies, Calvert-Lewin. These are players who are members of your squad. There's not like a huge drop-off from first team players into the academy. That'd be ideal, because now if we buy a star, so we buy a big name striker in the summer, Calvert-Lewin is still very much an option there. He's not like a token player from the reserves who's not really going to get a game. You know, if there's an injury, we'll just move players around. The legitimate first team squad options, and that's what you want. You want a conveyor belt of, saves you money. It saves you so much money in the long run if you can produce players like that. And that is very much a model that's prevalent in the Netherlands with PSV and Ajax, especially Ajax, and they're in the limelight at the minute with how well they're doing. So many of their players were brought in for either very little and groomed in their academy, or just actual academy players who've come through from schoolboy level. And that's the model we need to try and adopt.
Frankie de Jong for €1, though. €1. Just incredible.
Gary, I just want to apologise for the use of the term grooming there. I saw you smile when I said it.
It's because I'm a 12-year-old. That was ulterior motive mentioning this particular topic. We got into this a little bit in depth, but we're going to go more in depth on U23s and our youth system. We want to do that in the coming weeks. We're going to bring one or two people on who have more experience talking about this kind of stuff. One of them may be Dave, our buddy Dave. The hope is he'll be coming on soon. And he's been watching that stuff as well. So that's your tease. See, we're kind of doing a little tease thing here. So stay tuned for that in the coming weeks. Somebody who knows more than I do about it, which doesn't take much. Hopefully we can kind of identify some of these key U23 players and U18 players. We've already started talking about them. All right, so we'll get more in depth later on. So for those of you listening and not watching the show, here's what we have in store for you. It's a brief one. It's not a full run, mainly because I have family business to take care of after this, and that is not code for using the bathroom. Just saying. It's something I'm supposed to be at for my wife at her school. So, yeah. But here's what's going on. We're doing a Man United preview. We've got United at the weekend. And can we just pretend Fulham didn't happen? I am. You know, I even went to the mountains to escape it. We left poor Max to fend for himself. having to do a match reaction to that shit. Max, I owe you a pint for that, my friend. I feel like I owe you way more than a pint. More than one, anyway. So, when we're in the same room, it'll literally be just putting my card down saying, give it to Max. So we've got that, and then we're going to do the quiz. The preview will be probably a baby preview, but then we'll move to the quiz, and that'll be it. So there it is. So onward to the United preview. Current form, United is sixth in the table, 64 points. They're 19-7-7. Their past five games, they lost to Barca 3-0, and before that 1-0. In between those games, they beat West Ham 2-1, lost to Wolves 2-1, beat Watford 2-1. Okay. Possible starters. I think Shaw is banned for this one, so no Luke Shaw for this one. De Gea starting goal, we know that. Dalot, Lindelof, Smalling, Ashley Young, Fred. Just have to say Fred like Fred. There's no cool way. Just have to say it in my nerd voice. Fred. McTominay, Pogba, Lingard, Lukaku, Rashford. That's a possible lineup. Obviously, they're United. They have a lot of players. All right? They're, you know, when Solskjaer came in, they have been playing better, and they gave him a perhaps a little bit of an early contract based on the results. I think maybe I was waiting for them to see how it rode out the rest of the season, but who knows. Regardless, there were results. So, Terry, what worries you about this United team, aside from the fact that they've just been performing better all season than we have?
The fact that they lost to Barcelona in the very last game they played. The league is now, I mean, it always was important to them, but now there's no distraction. They need to, for their club, they need to qualify for the Champions League for as long as they're able to. So I think this is the worst possible time to play Man United coming off the back of a defeat like that, because they'll be hurting. They got embarrassed against Barcelona. Messi, I think he took Phil Jones' soul away from him. we've been strong recently against the top six teams at home. I think this one may be a problem, though. We've come down to play them when they are desperate for a result, desperate to put that last performance behind them and put it right. I don't know. I'm not confident, especially when one of our better players is now suspended as well. I think not impossible to you know get a result there. Not in good form overall. You know, Ollie's at the wheel, but the wheels are coming off a little bit. So I don't know. It's a hard one to predict, but I'm not confident. I usually like to be positive and upbeat, even against the better teams. But I think this is a one given the context.
Just for those of you who have been living under a rock recently, as I have camping, Gomez out for some evil conduct of coming down on Mitrovic, studs up on the ankle area, shin ankle area. Not unlike what Guendouzi did to Dean, not unlike what Jorginho did to Sigurdsson. We've already talked about this off camera. These guys mentioned these examples, but it's the same stuff you see. I'm not really going to mention the Salah thing on the Porto player because that's Champions League. FA can't do anything about that. But consistency from the FA would be nice. Just saying. So, now that that's done, Max, how do you see us? You know what? I'll let you just go in. I'm not going to give you a prompt question. I just want you to roll. What do you got?
First and foremost, I'd just like to say Manchester United have lost 5 of the last 7. So, like, and just to add on to what Teddy said, this entire Ollie's at the wheel stuff, like, they are the biggest media whore of a football club known to
man.
It pisses me off so much. Like, the appointed Jose Mourinho, he's just kind of, you know, he's a man of his own ideologies and football and philosophies, and obviously that wasn't a very good marriage. You know, I feel like he's not a company man. You know, he's a man, he's about his own pockets and he's about himself. Obviously, they failed to recognise that at the time of appointing him. And now, they've ultimately gone for, you know, 100% company man in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who's, you know, an advocate for the brand, because that's what Manchester United ultimately is now, isn't it? It's a brand. It's just dependent on stock market performances. And that's obviously boded well for them at first. They've kind of altered the formation to accommodate for the more attacking players that they've got, you know, quick on the counter-attack and really good on the turnover of play. I think it's atypical of the Premier League over the past couple of years, but Manchester United are one of these clubs that stockpile really good players, and a lot of good players go to waste. You know, you look at Alexis Sanchez, Juan Mata, and, you know, they seem to got a rotation between, like, Rashford and Lukaku, who's having on the bench, you know, and Martial and what have you. But, yeah, you know, they are an excellent footballing side when they're playing well. And I'm obviously not as confident coming into this game following that performance at the Fulham game. But I don't know, because when I was doing my Fulham review, it was like, I was thinking, you know, back under Moyes, it was kind of typical of Everton. We'd lose a soft game and then we'd turn up against the big club the next week, you know. And I'd like that to be a signature of Marco Silva's Everton. So if we could develop that, that'd be fantastic, and I'd love to do Manchester United over, I really would. But, obviously, you know, I've got to be 100% obvious. We're not favourites. I'm not entirely confident. But if you go back when we played them at Old Trafford, we weren't that bad, you know.
Oh, dodgy God.
Decision pending.
Yeah, that was...
Penalty decision.
That was awful.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was. But, you know, Goodison Park... We've got the sirens at our back. We'll be sound.
Just quickly, I just want to follow you up on that. That's a brilliant point about the decision to put him in. He's very much a company man, and it's all about the brand. I honestly think that's probably, you know, the unspoken truth of that appointment. Like, he's been appointed not as a footballing decision. No football brains have sort of looked at that and thought, well, you know, we need to oversee a huge rebuild, and he's not got the experience and so on. He's been put in because he's brought a feel-good factor to the customers, and he's an iconic part of their brand. He's the goal scorer from the 1999, you know, treble-winning Champions League final. He's like a token of their most successful era as a brand. He's like the polar bears for Coke, isn't he? he's been put in to try and sort of bank that goodwill with everyone, all the pundits around the world, everyone like, oh, how can you not give him the job? The job he's done, he's been brilliant, how could you appoint someone else? And now they have, and they're starting to see what they've done. And yeah, he's not this, you know, all-conquering manager. He's, he's had a new manager bounce, one of the best ones I've ever seen, granted, where it really did go the complete opposite direction when he came in. But now, with 5 defeats in 7 games, you're starting to see, oh, you know, he's not a miracle worker. This team needs major surgery. And
yeah,
all the pundits who all, you know, banged their desks saying he needs to be appointed have now sort of started to retreat and going, why did they do this? Why? Well, because you told them to.
Exactly. I hopefully, fingers crossed, the likes of BT and Sky will stop inundating the social media feed with stupid fucking edits and pictures of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer driving a car and all this stupid shit. Like, it just needs to stop. They're carrying on to doing it with Liverpool now, obviously, with their with the wind in their sails. But when both, you know, once they start going, you know, start losing a few games, Liverpool and Manchester United, fingers crossed, my Twitter feed won't just be constantly the same all the time.
Note to everybody, stop ruining Max's Twitter feed. Just say it. I mean, no. Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. So with Gomez banned, we're probably looking at Tom coming in. Right? That's what I'm thinking. Unless for some reason he goes with Schneiderlin, you know, Max's man crush number one. But the way, honestly, with his, I think he's had injuries recently, so I don't know if he's actually fit to play. So I'm just assuming it's going to be Tom Davies coming in, which, I mean, I haven't seen him have, like, a full game for a while. So, you know, when he's come in recently, he hasn't played poorly. So it's just he's just not Andre Gomez. Yeah. There's a difference.
Yeah, true. You know, he put in up against the midfield, and I don't know, obviously Pogba's the standout, but Fred, Scott McTominay, I think, you know, Davies will have the legs to keep track on them. So, you know, it shouldn't be a bad performance coming from him.
I think if Schneiderlin's fit, he will play, because when he played well recently, mm-hmm. he did do well, to be fair. You couldn't say he doesn't deserve to start. I prefer Tom Davies to play, though, because I think he's the only one who's going to be here in the summer out of the midfield options, including McCarthy as well in that. But I think if all fit, it'll be Schneiderlin, A, for the to follow on from the good performances he put in a few weeks ago, and B, because he's more defensive on paper, at least, than Davies. And, you know, with their midfield options, I think they're going to be a little bit wary of, you know, the likes of Pogba and maybe Matter if he plays or someone like that. I'd love to see Tom Davies. I'd like to see him play, in given the opportunity now that Gomez isn't playing, but I just think if it's all being fit, it'll be Schneiderlin.
So we need to give predictions and wrap this up. Terry, you sounded pretty pessimistic earlier. Are you going to stick by that with your prediction?
I'm going to go with a 2-1 Man United. Don't often pick a defeat, even when one's likely, right. But I just can't.
Max,
see
what
else.
Do you got? 2-2?
2-2.
And I've got 1-1. Yeah, so 2 draws and a loss. That's actually pretty pessimistic coming from the three of us, if I've got to be honest. I think quite often we do pick 2 wins and a draw out of the three of us. It's a pretty common thing. So that is sort of a pessimistic. But we can't really, with Gomez being suspended, Man United coming off the Barca loss, and the fact that we just played like that against Fulham, it is to be understood that we're a little on the, you know, not exactly foreseeing, you know, shower of goals this weekend.
Yeah, just to reiterate what I said in the preview, Fulham before that game had lost the last 9 on the bounce and kept just 2 clean sheets all season. Like, yeah. Everton for you, day.
Tom Kearney hadn't scored for years since his last goal against Everton.
I don't know.
Is that when he was playing for Hull? Is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. So let's, honestly, I could see SC actually being a pretty competitive game after that one. You know what I mean? Like, I actually could, but we'll see. I'm not guaranteed. Yeah, definitely not overconfident.
Hopefully we won't.
You've got it in us at home. That siren, as Max said. As long as we've got the siren, we'll be all right.
I have to, like, explain it to my kids every single time at the beginning. What's that? And I'm like, okay. There's this boxer, okay? Let's watch Creed, and we'll talk about it. I know you're 3 and 6, but you should still watch. All right. So that's it for our United preview. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for If You Know Your History, the Everton-based quiz segment that pits Terry against Match in a cage match of Toffee's wit and might. I will be refereeing said match, but it's not the kind of cage match where a referee will come out with a chair behind his back. No, no random chair behind the back from me. At least not yet will this be the time. Spoiler, no. All right, so, guys, it's a starting 11 segment, and that's a bit of a misnomer because if these guys name all the starting 11, then we go to subs that played. Then after that, we go to subs that didn't play. Then after that, well, I'm not prepared for that because I got here late. So if that happens, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So, yeah, pretty simple stuff, guys. One of you needs to go first, so call it in the air. That's your heads, that's your tails, this GoPro stand. Who is calling it?
Tails.
Okay, tails from Max. And it is tails.
Second, please.
Max wants to go second, as is his want. All right, so Sunday, April 22nd, 2012. Manchester United 4, Everton 4. All right. Cue intense quiz music, please. There it is. It's very intense. We're all very nervous now. All right. So, Terry, name me a starter, please.
Stephen Pienaar.
Stephen Pienaar. He did start, and that is a correct answer. Max, what do you got?
Marouane Fellaini.
Fellaini. I've heard of him. Yeah, he played. He started. Terrence, what's up?
Leighton Baines.
Nope.
That is a no. That is a no. Leighton Baines is not on this list.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh, is this over already? Max, Do you want to draw this out and tell a story really quick?
Sylvain Distan played at left back.
And that's his story. Keep going.
Baines was out injured. I can't exactly remember why. And I know we had Wembley coming up in the not too distant future.
We just lost at Wembley to Liverpool. And then I was angry at the time. Because it was characterised, that 4-4, as Everton bounced back from Wembley and defeat to Liverpool. And I was just like in the worst mood at the time, going, no, I'm fed up with this. We bounce back when it doesn't matter anymore and it's just a league game. Because that was becoming a real bad habit, that we'd fail at the big game in the cup or what have you. And then we'd play someone in the league for a mid-table sort of game and didn't really have much on it. And then, they played really well. Like, we did it another time when we beat Aston Villa 1-0 after losing in the cup.
Still do now.
It was characterised as, they've bounced back. It's like, no, do it the game before when it really, really counts. So that's probably why I've got, dark clouds and smog in my brain from that time, because I watched that game and it was a crazy game, 4-4, it sounds like it was, but I was still quite angry because we were better than Liverpool. And if it's the semi-final, I'm thinking,
worst game I've ever been to,
we were better than Liverpool for the majority of that game and beat ourselves. We were all over them in the first half. They were petrified of Jelovic. Jelovic was in that sort of spell where he was unplayable. Why didn't I say Jelovic instead of Baines? and I thought Baines was a safe one, to be fair. I think I had Jelovic in the back pocket. But
he's usually a safe one, you know?
Yeah, usually. But, so that I've got, a sort of angry memory of that time, going 4-4, don't care, we still went out to Liverpool 3 days ago, it's not worth anything. 4-4, it's great for the neutral, I don't care, we're out the FA Cup. So I've still got in a rage.
You didn't keep your emotions in check, man. You gotta have your emotional balance. We didn't realize Terry busted a stress ball over there. He squeezed it so hard, he was thinking about 4-4, he didn't care. So here's the deal, Max. I heard you say Sylvain Destin. Yeah, he started. So for those of you who don't know how this works, Max just won. So congratulations to Max. He will get to choose the track. However, so as we don't completely lose this opportunity, we're going to do a rapid fire thing. Just name a player and I'll tell you whether or not he's in. Terry, what do you got?
Osman,
yes.
Phil Next. Neville.
Neville, yes. Next.
Jagielka,
yes. Max.
Howard.
Tim Howard, yes. Terry.
Drenthe?
No. Drenthe, not in.
Coleman,
not in. Or I've on lost the bench.
I've lost three times now,
Chris. You're killing it, brother.
I know.
Name
I'm
another one.
I'm a couple of pods off. I need to I need to ease my way back into it. I'm coming back from a long layoff.
You may be better just to name a squad player from back then. See what happens.
McGuigay
was on the bench, but he did not play. But you got one. Max.
Kale.
Yes, he came in the 83rd minute for Distan. Terry Mina.
Eitinger.
Yes, he started.
Last season. Darren Gibson.
Darren Gibson started. Terry.
I don't know.
What spelling Velios? Is that? No, go ahead.
Apostolos Velios, spell that.
He did not. He was not in or on the bench. Give me a different name. You're forgetting one that you said earlier, but...
Tony Hibbert?
Well, yeah, that's one. No, neither one of you has said this guy, but you talked about it, but you didn't say him as an answer.
Distan? Have we said that?
No, Distan.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who have we talked about.
Yella.
Yeah, Yellovich.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I thought we'd said him.
Yeah.
Somebody else came in for Leon Osman in the 63rd minute.
Thinking squad players. Oh, my mind's a bit blank now, to be honest.
Fire truck. What color are those red fire trucks? McFadden came in for Osman.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
63rd
the second minute. Coming.
Yeah.
And you guys, so that's everybody who played on the bench. Additionally, you got Jan, a player who I used to think was pronounced Jan Mucha until I was corrected. And now I like saying Jan Macha. It's just really awesome. Jan Macha. It's like getting something out of my throat. It's awesome. Then you got Strack Walersi.
How did I get the Strack?
And this guy who played, he's a Chelsea player. He was on the bench. Ralph Smargley. And an HB. So, yeah.
Big Vic.
Yes. So, that was it, gentlemen. Max, congrats. What is your song to play out to?
I'm torn. I've been mixing off a little bit lately.
actually, I'm like, wait a minute. Who did sing that in the 90s? I actually hear it in my head now. It's some lady.
Pigs by Pink Floyd.
Mm. Pigs or Pigs on the Wing? Which is it? Just Pigs?
Pigs, three different ones.
Ah, Pigs by Pink Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why are you picking that?
Because I listen to The Church of What's Happening Now, which is a podcast by Joey Diaz, who's a comedian, and he had Tony Hinchcliffe on the other day, and he just talked about Pink Floyd and how like influential Pink Floyd was, and like they were going through all the albums, and like I'd listened to most of them, and then he just went off about animals, and I hadn't gave animals like an in-depth listen.
I haven't in the longest time.
So I gave it an in-depth listen, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different gravy, innit?
Yeah. I this is going to sound really petty, but Pink Floyd, only because they have a certain, they sample a certain song that the Red Side use all the time at the end of one of their songs. Now with Pink Floyd, they come on, I'm like, oh, fuck. They've got they end one of their songs with You'll Never Walk Alone. Yeah. It comes on my Spotify, on my Pandora all the time. I hear that and I'm like, nope, fast forward. Nope. I'm not letting my kids hear that. I'm raising my kids a certain way. I have certain standards and I'm not letting them hear that. So.
At least we're the only team with Z cars from next season. Watford are not using Z cars anymore.
Really?
Yeah, using an Elton John song. I'm still dancing.
Is it the bitch is back? Is that what they're gonna?
Should be. I'm still standing.
Yeah, sorry to our Watford peeps. Sorry. But you kind of earned it this season. Just saying. That's great. All right. So as we are being serenaded by Pigs by Pink Floyd, it's time to end the Toffee Blues podcast. We sincerely appreciate you listening. Why don't you subscribe? Hey, we'd appreciate that. Also, if you hear our voices and you're like, man, I bet Jerry's weird looking, you should check out our YouTube channel and you will find you're right. So check that out and you'll see Terry and Max too, because you'll be like, oh wow, I didn't know this, but I live right beside Max. Oh my gosh. You're like, and I've been hugging Terry every time I see him and I didn't even know. So yeah, it just works like that. You may know us. Not me. No one knows me. I'm kind of a loser. Alright, so check out the YouTube channel. That'd be awesome. Also, check out Terry, Liverpool Echo Fan Jury. Check out his Twitter. He'll tell you when he's going to be on there. And as I've said before, high fives. High fives for Terry. Firm handshake and a debate for Max when you see him out. Check out his Twitter. He'll tell you when he's going to be where. But he is often on the Toffee Blues website. Webmaster John, I say it like he's a DJ. Webmaster John has done a lot of work on the website. It's sparkling new, it's wonderful, and Max's analysis appears there often, as is analysis of our fellow contributors, our peeps. Yeah, all the things Everton there, so check that out. And I got nothing else. I think I've plugged away. I plugged my life away. It's a sad state of affairs. Terry, it's good to talk to you, man, at long last.
You too, boys. Pleasure to be back.
Yeah, Max, good to see you, man. Thanks for trooping solo the other day. Work's gotten kind of hectic, and it's taken its toll on the Toffee Blues crew, and I'm sorry.
Nah, it's good. Peace out, guys.
Took one for the team there, having to wrangle that one by yourself. So, anyway. But good stuff. It's good practice. Do it by yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having to go on your, on your notes, which is nuts. We're going to say bye. Thanks a lot, guys. And 3 points this weekend. We appreciate it, please. All right. Bye.